B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour here, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand out today. You got myself, Christian Arcand, and Leroy Irvin. You can follow me on Twitter at Christian Arcand. Follow Leroy at Boston L. Irvin. And if you recognize that voice, it's probably because you heard him on 96.9's The Get Up Crew Show, which double duty today.
Yeah.
You hit the wall yet?
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I'm getting there.
Eyes getting a little heavy there?
Yeah, I don't think people understand, man. Like, I got to be here at 4:30 or so.
Yeah,
so
you sent an email this morning at like 5, and yeah. I saw it, and I was like, what the bleep is this?
So, yeah, I'm starting to hit the wall. So,
all right, you can take a nap if you want.
No.
Okay,
never,
no.
Never. Let's get it.
All right, I'll take a nap.
I know, you do the
headlines and keep going.
You were here till late, right?
I was here last night. Yeah, that's true. But that's what we have to do this time of year. This time of year when people are taking vacation. I took vacation, so, you know, people have to rearrange and do their things. We're all happy to be here.
Yeah,
we do have today's takeaways coming up in about an hour. In the meantime, the last caller we just had, and I'm glad he brought this up, was talking about the various sports and their restart plans and who's doing the best job. I think the NBA is doing the best job out of all the leagues. Mm. Because the NBA identified a location right away. They put in testing protocols right away. They've really tried, and I think it's because their commissioner is probably the best commissioner, Adam Silver, have really tried to put, you know, safety first ahead of everything and work out the rest of the actual logistics after that. And I think that's really important. The problem is, when they made this plan, Florida was largely unaffected by coronavirus, and now it's like the epicenter of it. So that plan doesn't look as good right now. But I think the NBA had the best plan out of anyone. Behind them, I got to say the NFL, right? Because they didn't really do anything. Like, they've just gone along and said, we're going to be back. We're going to have fans in the stands. Mm-hmm. We're going to be playing a regular schedule. It's just going to be like every other NFL schedule. And at one point, I thought that was a good message to have. Like, in March and April, I thought that was a good message because everyone was depressed. Sports were all canceled. And here's the NFL giving you some hope, right?
Right.
Like, we're going to have the draft. We'll have free agency. And when your teams, you know, get these new players, that created like a hope that, okay, on the other side of this, there will be sports, there will be football, Tom Brady's going to be a Buccaneer, you know, like all these things. Now the NFL's canceling preseason games. Mm. Now the NFL's sort of going through it too. They canceled the Hall of Fame game, which was supposed to be next month. They're canceling two of the preseason games. I have to assume that the next logical step is to either cancel the entire preseason or start picking off regular season games too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, I think the NFL's got to be number two. It's not great, but it's number two. Number three, I'd go with the NHL, although the NHL doesn't even have a venue set yet. And then way distant fourth is Major League Baseball, who have been squabbling with each other this entire time over money and really alienating what little fan base they have left. So I'd put it in that order. Do you have any qualms with that?
Yeah, I got the NBA first, NHL a close second. And the only reason
they don't have a venue yet.
I understand, but both leagues were in the middle of their season. And that's something that Major League Baseball and the NFL didn't have to deal with. So if you look at how everybody, I'm talking about society, is dealing with this, this is something that's new to us all. So I got to give the NBA and the NHL the benefit of the doubt and just give them a little bit more credit because, again, they were in it and they had to make adjustments quick where Major League Baseball and the NFL kind of get to sit back and watch and see how everyone else operates.
Right.
You know, now Major League Baseball, you know.
I mean, baseball was supposed to start right around this time.
Yeah.
Spring training was happening when this all went down.
True. And that's why I have them last.
Yeah.
Because they just, like you said, everything you said is absolutely true.
Thanks.
NFL, I got the NFL.
I don't hear that a lot at night.
The NFL, I got them third. But you also hinted at how you can kind of see how the NFL is starting to feel the effects that the NBA and NHL had to deal with in the middle of their season. So NBA, NHL, they did the best with, you know, having to deal with it,
right,
you know, in the middle of their seasons. And the NFL, great job. I love how they took care of the draft. I thought that was creative. Mm-hmm. I thought that was nice. And they just got time to get things done. Major League Baseball, please. Please.
Major League Baseball had everything. They had all the tools to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
They have a socially distant sport just by the nature of it.
Yep.
Everyone's spread out all across the field. You know, they have, you didn't need to have fans in the stadiums because a lot of baseball stadiums, not a lot of fans go to the games anyway. Damn. Down in Tampa Bay and Kansas City, that's not going to be too much different. Baltimore, it's not going to be too much different from how it is now. Major League Baseball botched it the worst, and I don't think there's any way to debate that. Major League Baseball, and I know they're going to play 60 games, and it took them all this time, but they didn't even really agree to it. And mm-hmm. Rob Manfred the other day just said it was never going to be more than 60 games.
So what was all the back and forth for?
Great question. And also, he's lying. He's lying about that. Rob Manfred, when he said we were never going to go more than 60 games, mm-hmm. you offered them 75 games. You made an offer of 75 games at 75% prorated pay. Mm-hmm. So don't say it was just about the games. It wasn't just about the games. You would have gone 75 games if the players agreed to it. They didn't. They wanted to get their full salary, which they should. But don't say it was never going to be more than 60 games, number one, because then you're basically admitting you've been negotiating in bad faith all this time, mm-hmm. which that grievance now is going to be a lot harder to win. And number two, you made an offer for more than 60 games. You made a 75-game offer, and the players rejected it because they didn't want to prorate their salaries. Mm-hmm. So don't say it's about the games. It's about the money. We all know it is.
If you and I know, and most people know, that baseball's in trouble, okay, let's mm-hmm. just say that. I have to believe that they know that, too. You mean to tell me in their conversations and their Zoom meetings, nobody mentioned that and said, look, there needs to be some urgency here to get this done because, honestly, we are already in some trouble, and this will only make things worse. I just have a hard time believing no one said that, or no one – I believe someone said it, but it just wasn't taken seriously.
It's the elephant in the room with them mm-hmm. right now. And I think if they acknowledge that, then they're taking on a whole nother set of BS, you know? Like, if they sort of look – if the players and the owners get together and say, guys, we're losing all our fans. Yeah. People don't care about the sport anymore. The players are going to say, yeah, they do. They buy my jersey. They're there. They're cheering for me. They like me. Mm-hmm. And the owners are going to say, no, they don't, because we're not making enough money. To which the players say – well, that's not our problem. You know, we're out there playing and performing and doing what we're supposed to do. Market us better. I mean, you can go back and forth on this all the time, but I don't think they even want to unpeel that right now. Mm-hmm. Right now, they just needed to figure out how to get back on the field, and it took them months, mm-hmm. months of pointless negotiating that was never going to go anywhere, and the league and the owners had the nuclear option this entire time. I can never pronounce that right. And they finally decided to use it at the very end when there's only 60 games they could possibly play. I don't think the owners wanted to play this year. I think the owners are ready to just scrap the whole year. But the players wanted to get paid. They wanted to play. So, you know, they had to come together. And now they're going to file this grievance, and they're going to get hammered by that, too. Oh. The owners couldn't have screwed this up any worse. Rob Manfred is not good at this job. He really isn't. I think his days as the commissioner are numbered, and if they're not, they probably should be. And I'm not one to call for people's, you know, employment, but Rob Manfred, I mean, my God, could he have botched this any worse? Imagine Adam Silver running in Major League Baseball. He'd be back on the field today.
When we get back to some type of normalcy, right, how do you picture Fenway Park looking as far as fans and attendance and things like that?
I won't be there, I'll tell you that.
Wow. And that's because of the way they handle things right now?
No, it's because of coronavirus.
No, I'm saying...
I'm scared to go into a crowd.
I'm saying corona is no longer an issue. Let's say
the vaccine's out,
yes.
All right.
And I'm trying to get a gauge of what the damage will be because of their actions.
I don't think it'll be that substantial. I think that they're going to... It depends how good the team is, obviously. But the thing about Fenway and the Red Sox is that there's so many people who go to, like, one game a year. They come down from New Hampshire or Maine or Vermont or something like that. They come up from Rhode Island. They have their game that they go to with their families, or their company gets tickets, and so they, you know, they go with the kids and stuff. And that'll always be there. I don't think that's ever going to go away with Major League Baseball. But in terms of, you know, the real intense fandom and how things were, you know, 2004 and before that, I don't think you're ever going to get that again. Mm. If you were, you would have got it in 2018.
Right.
And
right.
People enjoyed 2018. It's not like they didn't. But did you see how fast they fell off in 2019 and how little the fans cared about them?
True.
And it was a lot of the same play. Mookie was still there and, you know, all these guys. And in 2019, people were, that's it.
Wow.
Done.
Wow.
So I don't know how you ever get that back. How could you? Mm. You know? For a while, it was because, well, they haven't won anything. Mm-hmm. You know, we're waiting for them to win that first one. And then in 04, they did it. But now here we are 16 years later, three more championships.
Yep.
and they're less relevant than they were before they won anything.
Mm.
And I think that's, I mean, that's bizarre, but that's just sort of the track that baseball's on, you know? 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Let's go to Susan, who is in Boston and has a thought on playing in Florida. Go ahead, Susan.
Hey, guys. First of all, love, Leroy, you're a great addition, so love listening in. And Christian, I always enjoy listening to you.
Thanks, Susan.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Just curious, though, Christian, around your comment around you think that, you know, the U.S. has just done this horrid or horrific job around COVID.
Mm.
You know, I'd like to think, I mean, we're still under, like, I don't know, what is it, 140,000 deaths, you know, across the entire country. The country was, like, completely shut down for at least a month. And then many states like Massachusetts is still pretty much, you know, just starting to open up.
Massachusetts is doing great. I think Massachusetts is doing a fine job, but go on, sorry.
No. But I think, you know, if you compare and contrast, like those states, I was in Florida for most of it. I stayed there before I came back to Massachusetts. And I think you said, you know, it was under control. And then I can attest to what happened is a lot of the people in the hotspots, like Miami and Broward, started to come over to, you know, the West Coast because the beaches opened. And then they, you know, there were the protests, and then there were all the people coming down from New York and Connecticut. So I think that there were things that contributed to the, you know, increase in the cases there. But I think the thing that everyone I like to continue to focus on is not so much the cases, but I'm not aware of any county or, you know, state for that matter, unless I'm totally, you know, just not educated about it, that there's been any, like, lack, like the hospitals have not been overrun and they, you know, we don't
in Texas,
have
they are.
Any.
In Texas, they are right now, Susan. Thanks for the call. But, I mean, in Texas, they're overloaded right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's the case in Florida. And she does make a good point. Florida is a place where people come and go from. You know, snowbirds from the Northeast go down there. I don't know if a lot of that was happening during COVID when everyone was locked down. But in terms of people going from coast to coast, I mean, I tend to understand that Florida is a weird place in that way. But that doesn't explain Texas. That doesn't explain Arizona. It doesn't explain a lot of other places that are seeing surges right now.
Mm.
And one thing she sort of left out is all those states reopened really quickly.
They did. Yeah.
They really did. I mean, yeah, everyone shut down for a couple of months, but, you know, it was what, Labor Day? Or not Labor Day? Memorial Day?
Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm. That a lot of these states said, we're opening back up. And those states are the ones getting crushed right now.
Mm.
Not all of them.
Like,
I mean, some are, you know, California's getting crushed just like it was before. But I think that's an important part of it. Places reopened too early.
Yeah, 50,000 cases, I think, yesterday or something like that.
Yeah.
In one day.
Yeah. It's not been good. And I don't want to make this a whole coronavirus
right,
hour here at the
right.
end of the show. But I do think that there's, you know, that those are the places that were targeted by sports leagues. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The places that didn't get hit early on were targeted by these sports leagues as places where we can resume our seasons. And now those places are getting hit. And these leagues are sort of scrambling, trying to figure out how they can make this work. And that's why. I mean, that's the reason why.
But you don't give the leagues somewhat of a pass because of that?
I mean, give the leagues a pass.
Okay,
it's the states
okay.
I have the problem
yeah,
with.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
The states reopening too quickly, I think, is the problem. When the leagues decide, when the NBA decided to go to Florida, I thought that was a great idea.
Right.
You're going down there, you're going to be in a bubble, it's not really that affected. This is a good idea. Now I think it's a bad idea. Like, how else could you look at it? 617-779-0985 is the phone number. There was a story that, came up on the 98.5 The Sports Hub website last night, and I had to read it a few times to make sure it was real. It is real, and it is spectacular, and we'll tell you about it next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is.
It's not as important as you think. Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.123 here on the Sports Hub. Arcan and Irvin in for Zolak and Bertrand today. We'll get to your phones in just a minute at 617-779-0985. But first, this story came up in the Sports Hub feed last night. I was on the air with Jones Leroy, and I saw this story, and I thought, huh. And the headline is, Twitch is being sued for $25 million over quote-unquote suggestive content. Now, Twitch, if you don't know, the morning show here, Toucher and Rich, they broadcast on Twitch. It's a, I think the beginning of it was to watch people play video games. Like, people play video games on their Twitch. And right, so.
That's what I do on Twitch.
Do you watch people play or do you play on
Twitch?
No,
I play.
Okay, and people watch you.
Yeah.
All right. How many people you get watching you?
Not too many.
Not too many?
But then I put it
on. Why would anyone want to watch someone else play video games?
Because, man, you get to see how things are done. You can, you know, it's kind of like watching somebody play basketball. And you're just picking up some of the little pointers and stuff. And I mean,
I like watching guys play basketball who are pro basketball players, but I don't really get the thrill of watching a professional video game player play video game, you know? Like,
you can learn something.
What the hell do I want to see that for?
You.
Anyways. This story is actually a couple of days old, but it was tweeted out yesterday. One man, Eric Estevillo, whatever, is now suing Twitch for $25 million after he says that the streaming platform exposed him to suggestive content.
Okay.
The individual is not new to lawsuits against giant companies. He's been involved in efforts to sue Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, and Blizzard. According to the lawsuit... documents that we've obtained, Estevillo gives a laundry list of female-only streamers that he is blaming for exacerbating his sex addiction due to his obsessive-compulsive disorder, and saying that it is impossible to use the service without being exposed to such content. I have the same problem when I see John Wallach in the morning. So I can relate to this guy and what he's saying.
No. I can't.
As a matter of fact.
What's going on?
You see this in the morning.
So he has a huge, what is this, the blow-up head.
That's the John Wallach head right there.
Oh, my God.
You see that in the morning and, you know, my sex addiction just kicks right in. Like, what are you supposed to do? Twitch is being sued for $25 million because someone thinks they exposed to suggestive content. I don't know any of these people. Mm-hmm. Pokimane, Loser Fruit, and 20 more. Not only is he looking to be able to receive monetary compensation for his exposure to this content, he also is looking to have every streamer named in the lawsuit permanently banned from the website.
Okay.
According to the suit, he's following 786 female streamers and zero male streamers and argues that the site doesn't offer a way to filter streamers by gender. Therefore, he's forced to choose a game or category to watch the thumbnail showing scantily clad women. Does he have a case?
No. And I'm so sick and tired of people like this. You know, I wish when this outrageous things like this, I wish courts can just be like, you know, listen, don't waste our time. Just meet them at the door and say, you know, keep it moving. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And you said he's done this before with other companies?
I don't know if he's done exactly this before, but he's tried to sue Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, and Blizzard. Blizzard's, they make games, right? Isn't Blizzard like a game company?
Maybe. I don't know.
I feel like I've seen
that
name before. I'm not sure exactly what they are. But yeah, he's tried to sue all these other big companies.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a case right there.
Yeah.
He brought that right in. I bet he walked into the law office all proud. Like, I got a case for you, buddy. I got a whale for you. You want to make some money? Let's make some money. Let's make $25 million.
But now I'm interested in seeing what these players who he's following, what they look like. And what are they doing? They're not doing anything. I know they're not.
There's rules on Twitch. You can't do certain things, right?
Like,
you can't, I don't even think you're allowed to play, like, music that's... can you?
No, you can't play music.
Some of my friends are DJs, and they'll do, like, a DJ set. Like, all those things on Instagram Live, like the... you see DJ Premier against... Yep. Who was he against?
RZA.
RZA, yeah, that's right. That was great, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
They played all their songs, but they're not allowed to post it afterwards. Mm. You can stream it live, but then you can't post it afterwards and have people download it, I think, is the way that works. And I'm sure you can't be, like, naked and you can't, you know, shoot guns and do, you know, illegal acts on screen, but you're allowed to be attractive.
Right.
I wouldn't know, but I mean, you're allowed to be attractive.
Would you stop beating up on yourself?
I'm just being honest here.
I maybe shouldn't have said it that way, but would you just cut it out?
I have to. If I don't, who else will? But yeah, this guy wants to ban all attractive women off a platform because their very image is just so seductive to him that he can't. I don't know exactly what the pie. He wants them all banned from the website so that he'll never have to see their attractive females on Twitch ever again. I feel like there's not a lot of merit to this lawsuit.
No.
I have a feeling there probably won't be.
No. And he probably doesn't have any friends. Mm. His family doesn't deal with him. No intimacy. That's the word of the day.
Right.
None of that. I can't. Well, and some poor court is going to have to take on this case.
Or dismiss it quickly.
Yeah, they better.
I hope this guy never finds, like, Red Tube, you know?
Oh, damn.
If he thinks Twitch is bad, wait till he gets to, like, you porn.
Now, see,
you
know, I was typing in.
Then he's going to have a real problem.
I was on the computer getting ready to type in Twitch, and you said Red Tube, and I accidentally started.
Don't.
Yeah, I know. I didn't press enter.
Okay.
All right, so Beasley, don't be mad at me if you were able to see that. I didn't mean it. I apologize.
Yeah.
That was Christian's fault.
Yeah, it was definitely my fault.
I'm the one getting in trouble. You're on my profile.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we can do that then.
Lanny's like, you got to go incognito before you hit red tube, man. Come on. Day one stuff here.
Delete cookies.
Oh, God.
Delete all the cookies.
Unbelievable.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones. No one wants to talk about this, but they do want to talk about other things. Brian is in Manchester. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I'm trying to stop laughing. The red tube thing got me. And so I was in the Navy, and just a little, give you guys understand what the player's going to go through. You know, when I first entered the ship and I was going to be going my first underway for like 4 months, you know, I would see a woman, and I'd say, yeah, she's a 1 out of 10. Well, after 3 months, I'd say, she's looking like Rihanna right now. and on that red tube thing, can't you see the NBA bubble? Disney, sponsored by Red Tube.
Yes, I could see that, as a matter of fact. Yes, I could.
He's telling the truth, though.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody who you consider a one, after a while, man, the struggle is real, and they look like everything. They look like heaven on earth. And then there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think.
Be careful out there.
Carney's in the car. Go ahead, Carney.
Don't you speak as if everything you say is fact. The hospitals in Texas are not at capacity the way you just said.
I saw in the news that they were, so, I mean, take it up with the news.
I'm just telling you.
Are you in Texas right now, Kearney?
Say that again?
Are you in Texas? Do you know?
My cousin is actually a doctor in Texas, and I just texted them because you got me so mad because so many sports things you said weren't true. So that one was just the icing on the cake, so I had to text that. The other thing is there's no way this NBA bubble is going to happen if this virus is the way you say it is, because it's everywhere in Florida. So if the hospitals get overflowed, how are they going to, you know, justify having this bubble going on? It's just a bad book if it is what you say it is.
Well,
I'd like to hear what you think about that.
Okay, first of all, I'll find the story about the Texas hospitals being overwhelmed. I didn't just make that up. I wouldn't just make up something like that. And I'm happy. I mean, Texas is also a big place, so maybe it's not the entire state that they're all being overwhelmed, but in certain places, Austin, Texas, for example, Houston, they are completely overwhelmed right now. It is Houston ICUs surpassed 100% capacity. Okay, Houston's a big place. 100% capacity has been surpassed. So I don't know where your cousin's a doctor or what, but if he's in Houston, he's not telling you the truth or all these, you know, fake news. I don't think that's the case. I don't think they would just report something like that if it was not true. Texas is getting slammed right now. And as far as Florida is concerned, Florida's a big place too. Mm-hmm. Most of the positive tests are coming out of Miami, Dade County, and that's not where the bubble is. So there's that. I mean, that's an important thing to remember here, but it's not that big. I mean, Florida's not that big of a place, and people travel around the state. So, you know, if they had more of an attitude of, okay, we need to really clamp down and stop this, I would feel differently. But these states just don't. They feel like, go on out, go live your life. We're not going to close anything down. Restaurants are going to stay open. You don't have to wear a mask. Like, what are you supposed to think if that's the way that they're treating this? Mm. How else can you possibly view it? I wouldn't go on the radio and say that if I didn't see it on the news. So you tell me it's fake news if you want to, but that's what they're saying. In Houston, ICUs surpass 100% capacity.
That's crazy.
And Texas Medical Center, now they're trying to make beds available. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll get to your phones right after the headlines.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We'll be right back. 1:40 here on the Sports Hub. Arcan and Irvin in for Zolak and Beetle today. Nice to have you with us here this afternoon as we creep up on 2 o'clock. Coming up at 2, Mike Felger, Adam Jones, and Marshall Hook I just saw out there in the lobby. Looking suave in his mask there. The mask and the shirt match over there with Marshall Hook today. That is a nice look he's got going on over there. Anyway, we've been talking about the NBA and how they plan on restarting down there. And you just uncovered something, Leroy, about from DeMar DeRozan.
Yes.
What did he have to say? Did he tweet this? Where was this?
This was on, where did I just see that at? It's on ESPN. I saw it on ESPN.
Okay.
He's just saying that basically the NBA's health and safety rules is very frustrating and overwhelming. It's a 113-page health and safety manual. He said he got through the first 10 pages and just put it down. He said it makes no sense. For instance,
I am with long things to read, too.
Right. He said, all right, so the league wants them to set screens and, you know, chase half the loose balls and this all just play basketball.
Right.
But in it, you can't play ping pong with someone.
With another player?
Yes. So he's like, it makes no sense.
I understand that playing ping pong with, like, someone who's not part of the bubble, but, like, if it's someone you're about to play basketball with, why can't you play ping pong with?
I understand.
Huh.
I feel him.
Okay.
And it kind of backs up kind of what we've been saying all along during the show. It's not a guarantee this thing is going to go, you know, all the way to October until we have a champion. And I think that's for any, and I think it's for all the sports, all the four majors. It's not guaranteed that this is going to happen.
Yeah, it's not. And I think that, you know, that's sort of a minor thing. The NBA is guilty of anything. It's being overprotective, I would say.
Uh-huh.
They're going above and beyond. Okay, you guys can't even play ping pong with each other when you're doing your downtime. That doesn't erase the fact that they have to play basketball, which is not a contact sport the way the NFL and the NHL is, but it is a sport where you run into each other and you play defense and you set screens and, you know, you box out and you do everything. You know basketball, but like that's kind of the point, isn't it?
Right.
You're not able to guarantee safety here. None of these leagues are saying we're going to guarantee everybody safety. Mm-hmm. We're going to try our best is what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And their best might not be good enough, I guess, is really the point here.
Right.
And we'll see. I mean, I think the NBA is trying at least to be as thorough as they possibly can. The NFL, on the other hand, I mean, you talk about a contact sport. The NFL, 5 guys line up and spit in each other's mouths on every single play. Like, how can you possibly do that and not have this spread around? Now, if that's sort of what they're bracing for, and I think in some level, Adam Silver said this the other day. Adam Silver said, we're going to get positive cases. We know this. We're planning for it. We're planning for positive tests. And you have to, I guess. You can't live in fantasy land where it's like, yeah, we'll be fine. There won't be any positive cases. We'll just play our sport and do that. And I feel like the NFL is kind of in that realm right now. You know, they're very sort of tunnel vision. We're just going ahead. We're plowing through. We're going to have fans in the stadium. It's going to be great. You wait. You know, the NFL is going to save the day. I wonder if that's going to blow up in their face. Because when you push something up that much, when you build something up that much and give people hope like that, mm-hmm. Let's say it gets taken away. I mean, the disappointment's going to be much, much worse.
It absolutely could get taken away. And that's my biggest fear. You know, you have these plans. You're going about it and everything. And I look at somebody like DeRosa, and if he's getting frustrated over something like this, we haven't even started yet.
I know.
We haven't even started yet. And the worst scenario would be for
that's a little weak, though, by the way. Why? You know what? You got to play ping pong?
No, it is kind of weak, but I can see why it is frustrating to him.
He's right that it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense,
But is DeRozan even going there? Are the Spurs even going there? I don't think they are. I don't think the Spurs are part of the team, so what does he even care? I mean, I guess if he got the the Spurs aren't going. Mm. Or are they? Maybe. No, it's Portland, New Orleans, and Sacramento. San Antonio's not even going, so what does DeRozan care? That's weird, but regardless, yeah. I think you're going to have that. You're going to have people saying, well, this doesn't make sense. You saw that here when Massachusetts opened back up
right.
or was starting to open back up. Everyone's like, well, hey, how come you can do this and you can't do this? And how come you can, you know, go eat outside, but I can't play golf and I can't do, you know, like right. there's always going to be that. That's always going to exist when you're trying to reopen and businesses want to get back going and people want to go back to work, of course. But this isn't really that. This is, okay, we're going to go back. We're going to play basketball. There's going to be a risk, but how come I can't play ping pong with my friends? Like, right. Shut up about ping pong.
I think in sports, the risk doesn't work for the fans. And what I mean by that is, again, I've already said this with basketball, but let's take football.
Right.
If it's Tom Brady and the Bucks and they somehow are going to meet up against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, but then we find out that Tom Brady tests positive, or, you know, Cam Newton tests positive, that's not entertaining.
Mm.
That's not entertaining.
No, it's not, and it's going to be a real bummer, too.
Yeah.
And will it cancel the whole thing? Maybe. It depends who it is. It depends which players get it and how many and sort of everything else. Silver said the other day, if enough people get it, we're going to have to shut this down.
Yeah.
You know, he said that. He says, we're going to still try and open and do what we can, but if enough people test positive, we can't go forward with this. Mm-hmm. So, again, you know, they're admitting something that the other leagues aren't really ready to face yet, and I think that the NBA has been out ahead of everybody on this the entire time. Let's take one call here before the break. Chris is in Raynham with a thought on Bill Belichick. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. This kind of piggybacks over the Felger and Maz controversy about Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Going into this season, I was very skeptical of Jarrett Stidham and very to be critical of anything that he did. The thing about Cam Newton and being, he'll only be the second African-American quarterback to start for the Patriots. And Boston's had a reputation the last few years of being a racist city, and there's been some articles about what Felger and Maz had to say. And they've been equal opportunity jerks to all athletes across the board. Gronk, Brady, but there was no context in that. So my thing is, if Cam Newton comes out and he struggles, is that going to reflect poorly on Boston, who's ready to embrace him right now, who's much more excited to have him than Jarrett Stidham? But if he plays poorly, it's almost a no-win situation for the Patriots and Belichick and the Boston fans. I just want to know what your thoughts on that are.
All right, thanks for the call, Chris. We can tackle this a little bit in the last segment, but I'll just say this. If the Patriots, if Cam Newton doesn't work out with the Patriots, unless some, you know, fans are really awful to him, mm-hmm. if they end up cutting him because he's hurt or because he's just not, you know, who he used to be and they feel better about Jarrett Stidham, I don't think that they should get heat for that. All the other teams who passed on him should get the heat for it, right? The Patriots at least gave him a shot,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, am I missing something here?
No, I hear you, but the truth of the matter is that if that does happen, the Pats will catch heat from
They
some
will,
people.
But they shouldn't.
They,
I think
they
that's,
shouldn't,
yeah.
but they will. And there will be people who will make it a racial issue. It just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, so to answer that question, yeah, absolutely. It could go down like that.
All right, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll come back with today's takeaways right after this.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's sweet.
Today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, who was built to help clients lose weight through holidays like the 4th of July. Be prepared for all future celebrations and call the solution for weight loss, Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Leroy, any big plans for the 4th?
No,
other than
man.
Shutting off all your kids' the internet devices.
Yeah.
Right in the middle
the
of their
Wi-Fi,
games.
Maybe a burger or a hot dog or two. You know, I'm trying to lose this quarantine 15.
Yeah.
So it's been a struggle. Yeah.
I'm not going to fit into my tux next month if I keep this up.
Oh, boy. Well, at least you don't. I'm feeling like I'm this close to having to wear a bra, so. At least you ain't there, man. You're going to be all right. You're going
to
be good.
All right. I'm trying to. First of all, I'm trying not to picture you in a bra.
Hey, listen.
Or a bro, right? Seinfeld, the man's ear.
Yeah, I can call it whatever you want. I just need something to help hold these things up.
I'm with you. All right. Well, with that being said, it's time for today's takeaways. We only have one takeaway today, and that takeaway is that, Leroy got some information out of me today that I wasn't planning on sharing. But, Leroy's just that good, I guess.
Speaking of intimacy, can I ask you a question? Let me just do it. Listen,
just ask.
Have you ever played in a league? Any type of sports league?
Like a professional sport?
No. I'm talking about recreational, anything like
that.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. Do you believe in that whole myth about before a game you should or shouldn't? Well, where do you stand on that?
Well, I never had that problem because...
What? Because what?
Because I wasn't exactly, you know, I wasn't exactly some ladies' man when I was in high school or whatever. You know,
right.
Guys would be like, hey, man, you can't be with a girl before a game. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, sure. OK, guys, I'll make sure I'm not. I'll make sure I don't do that. I was totally going to, but now I'm going to make sure I don't.
I'm only asking because there's got to be NBA players or athletes in general who may feel like, you know what, they. they have to in order to play well.
I thought it was the opposite. I thought if you do it, then that hurts your game.
I've heard.
Maybe, is that just boxers?
I've heard different stories from different people.
Okay.
That's all I'll say.
Women weaken legs.
Women weaken
legs. Mickey
right.
and Rocky.
Thank you. Right. Yeah.
Women weaken legs.
Yeah, but I really like this girl, you know?
Let her train you.
Right. That's why he couldn't see Adrian before the fight. Well, that and because he was training in Siberia. But yeah, I mean, those are the reasons there. Do you believe that?
No.
No?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right, there you go.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Every time you say this, I end up embarrassing myself.
Go ahead. This one, I promise you. So, Rocky was mentioned.
Yes.
Real quick. The best Rocky fight.
Ooh, the best actual fight?
Yes.
Oh, man, that's tough. I want to say Drago. Because that was just, I mean, that was by the time we got to Drago, there was so much stuff that happened.
Uh-huh.
But I think the best actual boxing match was the first one. Or Rocky II when he beat Apollo. But the first two, before you sort of realized that they were just slowly punching each other and speeding it up, before I realized that's what they were doing, I thought those were really great. I was like, wow, look at that. He's really running after him and punching, which you never see boxers really do that.
Exactly.
When's the last time you've seen a guy running? The other guy's retreating. He's getting punched the whole time.
Right.
Like, you never see that. But
real
I
fights would have been stopped in the first round.
That too, yeah.
You guys are landing way too many punches.
Maybe, like, try and block one of them. I don't know. No one in any Rocky movie.
Punches.
No one ever blocked a punch in a or dodged or anything in a single Rocky movie. That never happened.
Nope.
I think the boxing in the Creed movies is really good.
Yes.
And that's actually, like, real boxers they got in there, not just, you know, actors doing this and then they fast forward it. But, yeah, I'd say the first two fights against Apollo were the best. And then I'd have Drago be probably the second one after that.
Where does Drago and Apollo fall?
I mean, that was really sad.
Was that even a fight?
It wasn't even. That was just a bludgeoning.
It was an exhibition.
Right there in the
it
ring.
It was
there.
An exhibition. You want to know what the best fights were? With the trainer, Rocky's trainer, Duke, in Rocky IV, when he was tossing all the Russian trainers when they started scrapping in the
ring. That's a good one.
He was grabbing two dudes at a time and taking them off the pile.
I can tell you the worst one, Tommy Gunn in Rocky V.
Great fight.
No, it wasn't.
Great fight.
That was
my
bad.
Ring's outside.
When he's on the ground looking around.
I did not care
for Rocky V. One of my favorite moments in any Rocky movie is when Joe Frazier is like introducing him and he walks up to Rocky and he's like, good luck, sir. And then he goes up to Apollo. He's like, what's up, man? And Rocky's like, it must be friends.
That was a good one. You did Rocky pretty good there.
It's easy. You just mumble. That's all you have to do. You want to do a Rocky impression? Just go, I really like this.
I was hoping he wouldn't show.
Hoping he wouldn't show.
I really like this girl, Mick.
Good stuff.
How about Mick with the robot? You remember that?
With
his little pleasure
Polly
bot?
Had the robot.
What's that?
Polly had the robot.
Excuse me. Mick. Polly with the robot.
Right.
That thing and like his birthday party and he did weird things with it. Like that
kind of creepy how he changed it to a woman's voice.
Yeah. Everything about that whole situation was creepy. But overall, I love the Rocky movies. They're some of my favorite movies ever made.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. That's just about all the time we have here today on the program. Leroy, you'll be back with us tomorrow, which is great news. Hopefully, there'll be some more news that breaks. We can talk more about Cam Newton tomorrow, or we can talk about my embarrassing life. My weird habits and things of that nature that could all be on the docket there as well. But I think we learned a lot today.
Okay.
I think we learned a lot about each other, a lot about, you know, society and sort of everything else.
I have one request.
What's that?
Can you just promise me you'll stay off of Red Tube tonight?
You want me to promise that to you? You want me to lie on the air in front of all these people? I can't do that. Oh. I can't make that promise. I mean, it's my only real option, but I don't think I can do it.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I'll try. You know what? I'll try for you, man. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to be able to. Stay tuned. Coming up next, we got, Michael Felger on location, Adam Jones in studio, and Marshall Hook over in, I don't know where Marshall is. Maybe Hook's sitting over there. Anyways, they're coming up next right here on the Sports Hub. I'm Christian Arkin, and that is Leroy Irvin. Big thanks to Billy Laney. Big thanks to Kristen Sermon. We'll all be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to you then right here on the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.